Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast. This is episode 64. We're going to talk today about the beginning of fall calving and some heat we've been dealing with recently. My name is Morgan Hayes. I'm an assistant professor in biosystems and ag engineering here at the University of Kentucky, focusing on livestock facilities. And in my personal life, I farm in Boyle County, Kentucky with my husband. It is a commercial cattle and hay operation.
And I'm Josh Jackson, assistant professor in biosystems and agriculture engineering as well. Work with focus on precision livestock farming in my personal life, raise vegetarian cattle, and also have some goats and a couple of sheep. So we also focus on some hay.
Oh my goodness. Sheep too. And it is technically state fair right now. So you are busy with those sheep because those beautiful animals are keeping you driving all over the state currently.
So the sheep show all of Wednesday, and then the goats will show Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
Down there. But once we get done with the lambs on Wednesday, they'll go to get harvested on Thursday.
Okay.
Short turnaround time for
Yeah, sure. they're at the end of their life, I guess. But that's part of life. That's part of having a meat animal.
Yep.
Who's going to be showing these animals?
Just all the little kids we have. So Jacob, my son, and my niece and nephew.
They'll be all be very busy there.
They'll all be busy. They find something to do. Pester each other.
That's good. That's really good that they're all getting the experience.
It is a really good experience. We did that growing up, and they have a same affinity for animals that we have, so they seem to really enjoy the sheep and the goats. They keep talking about cattle, but I was like, oh, we'll wait a couple of years.
The cattle are a little bit more robust to manage. Halter breaking them is a different experience than...
It's a completely different experience from an animal that's about their size or smaller, or you know, just slightly bigger.
So they will learn. They will learn, but first make sure they have the responsibility down with the smaller ruminants.
Yep, master the small animals, then we move on to the bigger one.
Yeah, I've got some alpacas that I need to start showing in a year or two, and I think my kids are just a little bit too young, but that doesn't mean I'm not putting a halter on that alpaca and attaching a child to the other end of it and seeing who wins, because I think it would be fun to watch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, definitely. with me there, I'm not. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to do it without me there. But I'm just thinking to myself, maybe that's something we need to.
You know, give them a brush and just let them sit there and brush for as long as they feel they want to.
As long as the animal will tolerate it.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So other than that, what else has been happening on the farm in the last week?
Well, we went ahead. We did have a couple of calves this weekend, so we had to do some of our E. coli shots for a couple of cows, and also. We had about 5 calves born, and then we had to go and tag and bose and give our shots that we give, our calf hood shots, or just a general calf hood. They could give them a bose, give them AD&E, I believe, and then also just make sure, you know, spray some iodine on them, make sure everybody's just staying healthy.
You got any weights on those calves?
Oh, yeah, we also got some weights on them.
So were they the right size or were they the wrong size?
There was one that was a little bigger than I thought, but I was like, well, we might have missed him, but he might have been hiding in the grass at some point. So he may have missed the first couple of checks.
The first 12 or 24 hours, he might have been hiding from you.
Might have been hiding from us. So we eventually found him. It was like his navel had dried up. So we were like, we probably missed this one. So. But you get that occasionally.
Yeah,
you
know, they do a pretty good job sometimes of hiding those babies. But we had 3... that Monday morning. Yeah.
Okay.
So just the other morning. And that's for us is officially our calving season is supposed to start on the 20th. So having 3 on the morning of the 21st seems about right for us. That's good. They're coming in hot and heavy. I think this year, I think we're going to get a very heavy group.
Good.
The first couple weeks, which you do AI. So you should, or artificial insemination. So you should get them.
Should get them.
In a pretty tight window, but because we use bull power, sometimes ours stretch out a little bit longer, but we have a number that are bagging down that I would expect to calve in the next week. So we'll be busy with that. Aside from that, we did hay.
Okay.
We basically are done with our second cutting of hay. I also, we talked about it a little bit ago, we did put fertilizer down.
Oh, you did? We ended up pulling off just because the forecast looked so hot and dry.
Oh, we put it on before the last sets of rains.
Okay.
So we knew that there was a dry stretch coming, but we also knew there was three rains coming. So not this past weekend, but the weekend before. So about 10 days ago, we put fertilizer on. I actually went and worked. I had to work that Saturday, and I came home to put on like 50 acres of nitrogen. So I was cranking until dark that night. I'm not really sure why, but I guess fertilizer application is my job if it doesn't get done by a local
Okay.
So we got that done. And actually what's interesting is you can tell that we did it. So two of those fields had already had the second cut come off, and you can see that it pushed out of the ground again with those couple rains before this heat wave came in. So
okay.
I mean, it's also striped because in theory that the buggy is a 50-foot spread width, but it is not. It's about a 25-foot spread width. And so you can see the striping, and I could have done double passes on 25, but then I would have over applied what I wanted. I didn't want that much nitrogen on
because
it's already had two applications of fertilizer this year. So I didn't really want to put down 100 plus pounds. I wanted to put down 50, 75 pounds. I just wanted to put enough to make sure that I got some growth for that third cutting.
Right.
And didn't really tear up the ground doing it, which is good. I think everything looks like it came up well with that rain. Hopefully this heat, it just sort of goes dormant for a week, and then we get some more rain and it finishes out the growth. But if it doesn't, we actually probably have enough that we could make a short cutting out.
I think, you know, we fertilized way back in the beginning. We can definitely tell of August. We can definitely tell where we fertilized.
Yeah. So yeah, it's obvious, I think, right now that fertilizer is paying off. Our second cutting was very good on some of the land that didn't have a great first cutting, and it was fertilized land, but the first cutting was still just sort of mediocre, but the second cutting was very strong, like maybe as much or slightly more than what we had in the first cutting, which is unusual. Usually second cutting, third cuttings are, it's like a law of diminishing returns. Each cutting gets a little bit less, and so having one that was about equivalent on the number of bales to the first cutting is promising.
Promising, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it's been a different kind of year this year.
And hay is still short. I don't know how other people feel about this, but for us, we're still struggling to get hay into barns, but we do have, we purchase from, and that hay is coming in right now.
Okay.
This dry window here is a good one, and we're hauling in as much hay as we can right now to try and fill up barns. We're pushing ourselves and other people. I don't know if we're making friends or not, but at least we're paying them for their hay. So so they're okay with that. So we're just working our way through getting barns filled and making sure that we have enough supply, because we were sitting at a spot where we were not sure we had enough hay in the barns for ourselves and the people that we had promised hay to. So this is a good thing.
All right, getting a good thing, get it filled back up. We're still definitely down on hay. Our plan is to we'll have to rotate and just utilize some of our hay ground, essentially. Mm-hmm. Pretty much extend it to, as long as we can, extend it to December, then hopefully come back in the spring. And after, we'll plant a couple fields of some ryegrass when we get to decide that in October, seems.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing is we sold calves in late July, trying to get down our animal numbers, make sure we're not utilizing hay right now. But we have calves that typically will wean in October and stay in the barn until March. We will make the decision about how long to hold those calves based upon supply as well. I think we'll hold them probably until January 1 just for tax purpose. Calves are very high right now, and selling three groups here makes our taxes look real funny because we don't have three groups calf in a year. So selling them prior to January 1 makes the years look a little funny on the taxes, and whether or not that's important is, you know, everyone has to make their own decisions, but they would not be happy. So
it'll bias it towards this past year.
Yeah, it would just tax us pretty heavily this year. And I don't know that we have plenty of write-off, but I'm not sure that we have as much write-off as we would want to sell them at this price.
Right.
Three groups. So we'll probably hold them till January 1, but we probably won't hold them till March.
Okay.
Unless the hay just keeps rolling in this fall. If that happens, there's no telling what I'm going to decide. My poor husband.
We're in a similar boat, you know, definitely reducing the size, you know, the number of animals we have to accommodate, to match the hay. Looking to, I think, redo some fencing. I think you have done some fencing. Is that all completed now, or is it?
We have a fence with the perimeter with our neighbor done. We have our bull lot refenced, the exterior of it. We have an interior fence that we'll need to do, but that'll be next year. But we're now at a point where we could contain the bulls, and we can. We've got six steers that we're finishing out this fall. At least four of them are sold. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do with those last two. But they have their lot that's fenced. They're moved on to dry lot now.
Okay.
So we're moving towards getting everything where it needs to be. The perimeter with the neighbor that we're fencing ourselves, we have enough done. Gate got hung this past week. The cows can go through the rotation. We've got more fence in the next field back. That's the next one they rotate to. That part of the fence is in slightly better shape.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying that we're going to leave it. We're going to definitely work on it this fall, but we may run through the rotation before we work on that part of the fence.
Currently, it's functional?
Yeah, it's a three-stranded barbed wire fence. It actually does fine for the cows. We've never had cows go through it. What we have problems with is calves.
Okay. Kind of gets us into our topic for today is these.
Yep, and we're coming into fall calving. So as these cows, fortunately this group that we have on there right now is a spring calving group. But last year we had a fall calving group on this farm, and one of the reasons we have a spring calving group on this farm is because that field in particular tends to be one we use heavily in the fall and late fall, and we kept having calves go under. And for someone who doesn't have the neuroses about checking that happen in our household, it's fine. But in our household, we check twice a day and we get counts on those calves at least once a day.
Yep.
And so not being able to count calves because they've joined the neighbor's herd for 12 hours is not acceptable.
Right.
And trying to go over there and push a calf back on a four-wheeler is...
Not impossible.
It's a futile effort. Yep. I would describe it as a futile effort and very frustrating. last year we had to do a fence with a different neighbor, and I had a calf go over, and I said I had to wrangle it by myself, and I felt like WWE style. I literally had to like dive off of a four wheeler and grab it and throw it under the fence, and then like jump back up on the four wheeler and try and scare it into the herd. But it suffice it to say, it's not pretty when that happens. So
yeah,
this fence will also get done before spring, before baby calves are on this farm. For my mental well-being and my husband's as well. So we're continuing to work on the fence, but we have the worst portion of the fence is now done.
Okay.
So I consider that an accomplishment. Not a perfect solution, but it is a solution for now.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, we got probably 800 or 900 feet of fence put up. So a good chunk. That's clearing out that fence line, leaving a couple trees. There's still more work to do on cleaning up some of the limbs and stuff, but we are definitely in a far better spot than we were a few weeks ago.
Okay. I know, so you guys calve out probably about the same as we do. Maybe you calve all in one lot, or you have them separate groups, or how do you?
Typically, we have a group of around 50 head on our fall herd and 50 on our spring herd. Right now, all 50 head are, well, there's 39, I should clarify, there's 39 head right now that are together that are cows.
Okay.
And then we typically keep our heifers separate.
Yep.
So that is sort of our calving strategy, is that we calve heifers in one spot and we calve cows typically in another spot. Sometimes we'll push the heifers back in with the cows, but
just depends on how resilient they are, how much hay,
and how the ground is doing. And yep. This year in particular, it is hot.
It is hot. We're starting to get a little dry, too.
And a little bit dry. And so managing calving is a little bit trickier this year for us. So right now we have our cow. I said before, we did our rotation in a different order. So we would have the closer up pastures, the smaller pastures available for the first half of calving that first month. And that's what we're utilizing. Right now they're in a small field. I say a small field. It's still a solid week or 10-day pasture. And they went in around the 15th. And so they've got a little bit more time, but that's sort of where we're at with them. Then the next field they go in is another like 20, 25 acre field. It'll give them another 10 days. So I know I have about a 10 day here, a 10 day there, and then another field that'll give them about 7, and then one more field that's in sort of in this tight rotation that'll give them another week. So we should get ourselves a little bit over 30 days, get to middle of September or thereabouts before they have to go out to the big field where it becomes very difficult to make counts happen. Ideally, we will have, if it's been like past couple of years, we will have 75 or 80% of calves on the ground before they go back out.
Or they go to the big pasture.
And at that point, we're down to a number of cows that I can have a list of numbers that I need to check on.
Right.
And if I don't get a full calf count every day, I don't have to stress as much.
Right. By that point, they're also of age. They should be generally fine.
Yeah. I'll have enough that are over 2 to 3 weeks that they should be past any point of really having a lot of disease. That's sort of our goal. The other thing I will say is that the field that they're in right now has really good shade. So I'm trying to keep them there as long as I can, because with this heat wave, you know, calving in January in the cold is a major biological stress on a calf. A wet calf does not like the cold. They don't thermoregulate well. They're more likely to have issues if they aren't licked clean and dry before cold weather comes in, or if it rains and then gets cold in the wintertime. Those are really tough conditions for a day old or 2 day old calf. By a week old, they're very much more adapted. They're on milk good. Their body biologically is producing quite a bit of heat. But those first few days, the cold stress can be a real issue. But what people don't always think about is heat stress is also an issue, because they also don't thermoregulate on the heat side well. So they're more tolerant on the heat side. Like, they can handle 80 degrees. It's very comfortable for them. But they will also lay there at 95 degrees and get overheated and dehydrated.
Yes.
And people that aren't familiar with it will just see a calf out there laying and just be like, oh, it's just laying out there, like sometimes cats will do, or even some of my dogs that are more heat tolerant will go lay in the sun. But it is not necessarily good for a calf to be out there laying in the sun. And so most of the mothers are good about hiding them in shaded spots and cooler spots field.
But there's heifer calves as well.
There's heifers, and there's calves that are just obnoxious. Like, the mother will try and put it somewhere, and they will just move themselves out into a high-risk position. And I'm not sure why they do it, but they do. I sometimes say that animals want to die, and I think that might be true. So, but the heat stress is actually, to me, this is a bigger concern, because it's not one that we worry about, and so we're not looking for it as much. But having us this week, first week of calving, to have how many days? 5 days in a row in the 90s?
5 days at least, yes.
And that's a long stretch of really hot weather. And what we had last week was really nice weather, and it got nice and cool at night. So those animals were eating good. The cows were really eating a lot of grass. And so their bodies are really cranking right now, energy-wise. Not really where we want them to be in this kind of heat,
right,
heat load. And we don't want the calves taking in all that energy for milk and not having a way to dissipate it either. But at the same time, we don't want them to not drink the milk. That would be even worse. So it's a weird dynamic, not one that you think about stressing about, but it's actually hot enough this week to be concerned.
You know, and we have some behind the calves where you'll see the calf ball or the cow balling. And so we'll find them in the stream bed. They're not dead, but it's just they've gone to a place where they think is cooler, somewhat cooler, and they'll sometimes be in the stream bed. So you just have to be cognizant of where the cows are. What are the most the threats in the field?
Yeah, because in the wintertime, we have mud around hay rings and things like that, and they get stuck in that. But in the summertime, a lot of times, if there's a pond or a stream bank, those areas get muddy and they kind of get stuck there too.
Yep.
Sometimes they're just laying there just because, but a lot of times they can get stuck. They can also, on those hillsides, they can get themselves disjointed so their feet are above their head and they can't figure out how to turn themselves around. Bigger cows can do that too, but those small calves are particularly
prone to, maybe they haven't got quite acclimated.
Yeah, they haven't quite figured out how to lay down and how to stand up, and so they are more likely to put their feet above their head and make it difficult for themselves. So,
we've actually started also, like, our situations, we've started feeding hay to our cow group just because we wanted to be in a certain field. So we have had to make that management decision, like, let's feed hay, so just so we know if they're where they are. They're here in this one location, but they're well fed, and there's some grass out there, but we're just making sure there's ample hay available in rings that they can eat.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I think that's a good plan. That's sort of our plan right now, is that they have this rotation that gets us to mid-September, but if in mid-September we haven't seen the percentage we want of calves, the last field that they'll go through before they go out to the big field is our winter lot. And that's our hay feeding field. So all these other fields are very close up to the water tank and the barn. So it's be convenient for us, but once we make it through that rotation, if they still haven't calved out at the numbers we want, they will be on hay for a little while. So
right.
Good, bad, or otherwise, that's sort of our plan for now. And it sometimes we have them in there for 3 weeks on hay at the end of that cycle if we just want to get enough calves up to age.
Okay.
It depends. If we keep getting rain, we probably won't hold them that long on hay. But if it stays dry and hot like this for more than a week, we might have to consider hay just as a way to make sure that we have them then out on pasture with those young calves as long as we can.
When you're moving these calves, like how much of a pain is it for you guys to move calves between? I mean, Josh, how much of a pain?
Josh, you're just you just wanted to see if you could set me off today, didn't you? No. Moving day-old calves is the most miserable thing you will ever do in your entire life. If you've never done it, I congratulate you on finding one thing that is really annoying not to do. They're dumb. They're straight up dumb. They do not go through the gate. They will follow their mother and stand under her feet. You can't push her anywhere without that calf, but as soon as she walks through the gate, the calf goes the other direction and hides in a tree on the backside of the field that it was in. Without fail, it is where it goes. Yep. It walks all the way up to the gate. You're not even pushing. You're not doing anything to pressure. The cow goes through and the calf turns and goes somewhere else. And it's not like they can see the gate, I don't think, because they're literally standing underneath their mothers and they still manage somehow to go the wrong direction.
Yep. Completely the wrong direction.
And you can't push a day-old calf. All you can do is dive bomb them, grab them, put them on the four-wheeler, and drive them through the gate and set them back down on the far side and hope you can get the gate closed before they run back through it. That's about all you can do with a day-old calf. By the time they're 2 to 4 weeks old, they usually follow mother, and then you find out who the crazies are that you're going to sell at the end of the season. Yep. Because the ones that don't go through the gate at 2 to 4 weeks are the same ones that don't go through at 4 to 6, and at 6 to 8, and at 8 to 10, and 10 to 12. They always don't go through the gates. They're always the ones that are high-headed, that refuse to go through. And those are the ones I say goodbye to at 6 months old when we wean.
Hey, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense to me.
I know exactly which ones right now I'm selling this fall because they're the ones that I still have to push each time we move them.
Huh.
They've been in a good rotation, weekly rotation for their whole entire life. And I still have to push 3 calves in my spring group.
Hmm.
But those day old ones are worse.
Yes.
Because every single one of them does it at day old. They have this instinct of just how to annoy me.
Just go completely opposite way of that gate.
Yep. So that's my opinion on moving day-old calves, but we will still do it because it's still important that we rotate. It's still good for the cows. And, you know, we didn't talk about this. The sandhill calving system is a theory that after 2 weeks we move animals so that we don't have animals.
What's the disease build up in a field?
Build up in a field because usually if they have E. coli or salmonella, it comes in between 10 and 14, sometimes a little bit longer, 21 days of age. So after a certain amount of time, we want to move them because any sort of disease that they're shedding in their manure is going to be then on that pasture.
Yep.
And if we rotate, by the time they get back to that pasture, it's gone. So we can keep down disease, especially over a longer calving season. For us, it's a 60-day calving season. So we want that rotation as much as possible so that we can keep that disease out of the herd.
Okay.
For us, that's a priority. So while we do feed hay, we're still trying to do some rotation just from a disease, and especially with this heat that will encourage them to further shed any bacterial load that they have in their gut.
Yep.
So we'll encourage the movement if we can get it, but we're going to acknowledge that we don't know.
And we've done that system for a couple of years using that rotational scheme. And so it's just, some of it's just making sure we have pasture ground that's available. So I think we should be okay this year for rotations. You know, some are not the best fence, and like you said, we have some that are questionable fencing, and so those calves go under. You have to push them back or wait a day or two. It's like they'll get hungry eventually, but you know, we still make sure they do make it back.
Yeah, those calves can do remarkably all the time. They usually know how to get back through a fence, though. Very rarely do they get stuck and not figure out how to get back through the fence that they got through the direction, but every so often they're back.
And I had to watch them this past, you know, we had the 5 here, but we had to watch them for the black vultures. So we had some of the afterbirth and they seem to be meandering, hanging around. So I've been keeping a watchful eye out.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. The black vultures, I haven't had a lot of issues with. I have neighbors that maybe are not as good at managing, and so they tend to like the neighbor farms a little bit better. But we calve a little bit earlier in the fall than them. We have a slightly earlier start to calving, and so for the first few weeks, we do have to be at the...
We've been just watching them. You know, I see them occasionally. I run them off, but I see them out there. I know they're trying to, they're watching. There's, you have to be mindful of them.
That's a good point. I think that's a pretty good summary of how the first start of calving and managing this heat level is working for us right now. Let's go ahead and give a quick goal list for what's happening on the farm in the next week.
Next week, so wherever the cows, like I'm getting ready to bush hog a couple of my, the ones I'd fertilized in August, bush hog off. I had one section I wasn't able to bush hog, so bush hog off that section. Probably looking at maybe cutting some for hay since we're getting dry. I had a couple that were clover, Johnson grass mix. Go ahead and cut that before it burns up. It's my goal. Then get that baled and probably just keep feeding a little bit of hay, keep watching for calves and see how well it goes.
We'll be doing calving season work. We may cut a little bit more, but we are pretty much done with second cutting. So it would be the start of third cutting. And so we probably will have another week or two, but we may start depending on how the window looks, because this is a good dry window and I'd like to get a little bit of square hay up.
Okay.
It needs to be clean for us to put it into a square bin. Personal
preference
that we might take it a little bit more immature in order to get it clean. Aside from that, we'll be working on repairing a tractor.
Oh, okay.
That parts have still not made it in for, so we're just kind of waiting on that.
Did get our tractor back for the second time. So.
Got a clutch right now or not?
Yep, it's got a clutch.
Hey.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the challenge. But yeah, we'll be kind of working on a couple pieces of equipment, just general that and calf checks are a big deal.
Yep.
And then hauling hay. So we're still trying to fill barns. So ideally by the end of this week, we will have all of our hoop barns as filled as they're going to be this year. And then we'll be hauling hay that's going to get tarped out, rented piece or leased piece of. That would get us our total number. I don't know that we'll get all the hay to the lease piece again, but if the barns were filled this week, that would put us in a much better position going into winter than we were 3 weeks ago. Okay. So that's sort of our goal right now.
Okay, so not doing too bad then.
Nope, we're cranking along. And I think that's probably all we have for today, and we'll be back next week with a podcast.
Yep, good. Thanks, everybody.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.